Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you, we magnify you, God. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 18. And we're going to read verse 24 together. And I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus Sticks Closer Than a Brother.
Amen.
Can I get an amen? Amen? Listen, many of us have wonderful friends and family members and co-workers and aunts, uncles, mom and dads, grandpas, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and they're beautiful and they're wonderful in our life. And some of them can be real close to you. But no one is closer than Jesus. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You know why? Because Jesus lives inside of us.
Thank you, Lord.
See, we can embrace people and we can love them closely or from afar. But Jesus lives inside of us. And let me just say this. When we were riddled with COVID-19 back in the day, and that was not too long ago, when the epidemic and the plague hit everywhere, right? And everyone had to go home. I'm here to let you know that Jesus never left us nor forsook us, did he? He was always with us. He'll never leave us. And so if you're there at Proverbs, here's the word. And the Bible reads, a man who has friends must himself, what? Be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Closer. Praise God. Praise God. So I ask this question. Look at this right up here. No matter how great a friend is, there will always be misunderstandings and disappointments. We get that. How many of you have been disappointed with even close friends, family members? Okay, one of the things that I've learned, we will never have a misunderstanding with Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I get amen?
Amen?
He will always be truthful to us. He will always be steadfast with us. Can I get amen? And that's just his nature. You see, the nature of human beings having a relationship with God, it strikes us odd at times. Because before we became saved, before we became a child of God, before we received his Spirit, we had no clue who he was. Many of us maybe were brought to church as children. Maybe someone read, you know, Sunday school stories about who he is. But until you entered into a relationship with him, you never knew who he was. Praise God. And he's not only our creator. He's the sovereign ruler, meaning he spoke everything into existence. Did you know that God spoke everything? When you walk outside, everything, the trees, the grass, the air that you breathe, the food that we eat, everything, the house that you live in, he created all things for us. He's a sovereign ruler, and he's Savior and Lord. I ask this question, is he Savior and Lord? What does that mean? Savior means he saved us from our sin, but Lord means we have submitted to him now. And he leads us and guides us and we obey him. You see, he's Savior and Lord, but he's also our intimate friend. Praise God. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. Praise God. You see, saints, because of his awesomeness and his greatness, the idea of Jesus being our friend may be difficult to imagine to some. Oh, that's right. But he has no problem as seeing us as his friends, as we're going to go into scripture to prove this point. You see, my friends, when he lived as a man on earth, he was the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. He bled, he ate like us, he felt all the emotions that we go through, but what was different about him and us, he had no sin. He didn't have the thoughts of lust like we wake up with. He didn't covet. He didn't think of ungodly thoughts because he was pure. He was holy. His blood was not tainted with sin. And yet he referred to many people as a friend. Let's look at the word of God right up here. Look at this in Luke 5:19, and it reads, "But not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, 'Friend,'" notice he called him friend, "your sins are forgiven you." How many of you can honestly believe within your own heart that God has forgiven you of your sins? Well, guess what? Because he's done that, he has called you his friend. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we think that he's up there with the bat waiting to beat us on the head. That's not God. That's not what I read in Scripture. This is why you need to be in your word to find out who he is. He has such a great love for you and I. Can I get amen? Here's another verse of Scripture right here found in Luke 7:33. Look at this. "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon." The Pharisees thought that John the Baptist had a demon in him. No, he didn't. He had the Holy Spirit living within him. Look at this, verse 34. "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" Listen, let me just say this. Thank God that Jesus was our friend. Can I get an amen? Just imagine if Jesus was here in your sinful state and he just walked by you with his nose up. No, that's not the God we serve. He loves us. Look at this verse of Scripture right here, Luke 12:4. "And I say to you, my friends," say that with me, "my friends." If your Bible is red, that means these are the words of Jesus. "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." You see, because he's our friend, and because we are saved, God will never destroy us anymore. Aren't you so, aren't we so blessed to know that? We are not to fear him. We are to embrace him. Look what it says in John 11:11. "These things he said, and after that he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.'" You all know the story of Lazarus, right? Real quickly on this story right here. Lazarus was a dear friend to Jesus, and he was in Bethany, about a two-day journey away. And they sent for Jesus. Said, "Lord, Lazarus is sick." And Jesus said, "He's going to be okay. I'll get there when I get there." And by the time he got there, it was 4 days. Lazarus was dead. They already put him in the tomb. They already wrapped him in grave's clothes. And they all came. They all came running to him. "Jesus, only if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus flat out told Mary and Martha, "I am the resurrection of life. He that believeth on me will never die." And he had to make that clear that he was a friend of Lazarus. And then you all know the story. He came to the tomb and said, "Take away the stone." And they said, "But Lord, he stinketh by now." He already smells. You see, Jesus purposely waited 4 days. Why? Because without refrigeration, on the fourth day, a dead body will start having worms to eat away the flesh. The worms will come. And so they knew. Jesus purposely waited 4 days. And then he walks into the tomb. "Lazarus, get up." Wow. Praise God. How many of you have been gravely ill and you thinking that you were going to die? And Jesus walks in and then just heals you. You may not see him, but he's in your room. Praise God. I don't know how many times he's done that with me. Praise God. And I've understood that he's my friend. And he loves me. He loves you. You have to know that he loves you. Can I get amen? Another scripture that I found right up here. Look at this. In Matthew 26. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Even when they falsely accused him and they are about to imprison him for no wrongdoing, he still called them a friend. Wow. So I asked this question right up here. How Jesus expresses his friendship. How does he do that? We're going to look at some biblical points this morning so that you have a clear understanding. Listen, I know for some people, they hear about Jesus two times a year. Christmas and what? Easter. And then they don't hear about God no more. I'm here to let you know, I love to hear from him every day. Can I get amen? I love to hear from him every day. Why? Because when you understand what he saved us from, my goodness, you're going to embrace him forevermore. A couple of weeks ago, many of you testified. Remember that testimonial service? Oh, yeah. And there were some things I didn't know what was going on with that person and that person and that person. I was going, oh, my God. It was an oh, my gosh moment. But then God spoke to me, as he has spoken to me in many times. You have a greater love for me because you now understand what I saved you from. We were headed to hell. I know I was. And he pulled me out of the fire. And listen, when you understand, when God shows you your sin and he saves you, I like to say it like this, he saves our bacon. You'll have a greater love for him. Yes. You will adore him. Yes. You will magnify him. Yes. You will embrace him. You'll say, oh God, thank you for saving a wretch like me. Yes. But until you can see what he has saved you from, you're never going to understand the deep love that he has for us. And it goes beyond. It goes beyond our comprehension. Let's look at this right up here. Number one, Jesus' sacrificial love. He loves us sacrificially. Look what it says right here in John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. He laid down his life for you and I. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. And he didn't leave us in the pit of misery. How many of you can recall you were living a life and you were in a pit of misery? I was. Praise God, he saved me at the age of 30. But prior to that, I was a chief knucklehead. You know how Paul said, I'm a chief sinner? Well, I was a chief knucklehead. Oh, that's right. You couldn't tell me what to do and fooey on you. Oh, that's right. Saints, there's always been people who've given their lives to save others, but Jesus, his sacrifice is so much greater. Amen. Can I get amen? You see, my friends, when someone lays down their life to save another, it's usually a spontaneous act in a moment of great danger. But in contrast, saints of God, Jesus Christ planned to give his life for us before the foundation of the world. Listen, before we were formed in our mother's womb, he already saw you and I, and he knew the day he was going to come and save you. That's his foreknowledge. He knows our past, present, and future. Can I get amen? And so he understood these things. He knew what we would go through in this life. Why? Because this is a fallen world that we live in. He gets it. And one day he's going to renovate it all. You ever been to a house that's fully renovated? It went from a $300,000 home to a $900,000, same house. Being in that industry, I've seen some beautiful renovations. Well, guess what? God's going to renovate this world for us. Can I get amen? He's going to renovate this world. And I can't wait. He's going to do something brand new in you and I, like we've never seen before. You see, my friends, he loved us before we were born and died on the cross to rescue us from sin while we were, check this out, while we were still his enemies. Did you know that we were enemies before we came to the cross? How many of you used to just talk like this, bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ would come out? I still know folks. I say it politely. If I'm with someone, then I know they're not saved, you know, and they got this jaw-jacking mouth. And they go, bleepity, bleep, Jesus. You know what? I pause them. I go, hey, are you praising the Lord? Or are you cursing him? Oh, and then they say, oh, excuse my language. Excuse my English or my French. They'll come up with something like that. I just remind them that that name that you're calling upon will save you one day. Can I get an amen? The name Jesus will save you one day from your bitter self. And I got proof that we were enemies. I got proof that we were enemies right here in the Word. Look at this. In Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Before we came, man, we were enemies to him. My goodness. And yet, he still chose to love us despite of ourselves. Aren't you so blessed? Despite of ourselves, he still loved us? My goodness. Saints, unlike a person who dies to save a person physically, Jesus' death on the cross rescues us from eternal punishment and gives in exchange eternal life. How many of you are so excited to know that you have eternal life? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So, we're going to continue to look how Jesus expresses his friendship toward us. It's all about him being our friend. He sticks closer than a brother. Can I get amen? Look at this right up here. Number two, by taking the initiative in the relationship. You know, he reached out to us. We didn't reach out to him. How many believe that? That he had to reach out to us? Because I know if he didn't reach out to me, I wasn't going nowhere. And how do I find that in Scripture? Right up here in John 15:16. Look at this. You did not choose me, but I chose you. What? He chose us. When we were in our most pitiful place in life, he still chose us. Why? Because he loves you. He loves me. I hope when you leave this morning, you'll have a greater understanding of Jesus' love toward us. No one can choose to be Christ's friend. No one can. Listen, before he came into our life, did you have any desire for him? Did you wake up thanking him? Did you have meditation time in your word? No, none of that was in existence. We had no inclination on who he was in our life, other than, as I mentioned earlier, two times a year. Especially Easter. Easter, man, we used to have keg parties at Easter. We'd go to church and then put Jesus on the shelf and party it down. Oh, yeah, we'd have five keggers. Well, come on, you know, we did. Jesus was non-existent in our lives until he came into our life and he changed us from the inside out. Can I get amen? Amen. See, Jesus alone takes the initiative. He didn't choose us as his friends because of anything worthy. Because guess what? None of us are worthy of it. Can I get an amen? Or because of any good works. We cannot work to be good. Can I get an amen? The Bible says there's no good thing in us. Nothing's good in us. Yet he still went past that barrier. He went past our own self. I'm so blessed that he went past ourself to reach us, to find us, to bless us. And the only reason we can have a relationship with the Lord is because of what he did for you and I. He went to that cross for us. Our only role, saints of God, was to respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction in our life. And that we can cry out. You see, when Jesus shows you your sin, you will cry out to him. When he shows you exactly what you're made of and who you are without him, you will melt. You will fall apart. You will go, oh my gosh, I am so rotten to the core. He brings you to a place, it's called repentance. And once he gets you there, then he starts pouring out his love upon you. Can I get amen? Because he's the one that stirs up in your heart. He's the one that touches you in your innermost being. He's the only one that can reach inside your soul and touch you in those places that even your spouse, your children, your parents cannot touch. They can't touch you in your most innermost being. Only Jesus can. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? Let's look at our third point right up here. How Jesus expresses his friendship is number three, by the revolutionary effect on our lives. Oh, that's right. How many of you can honestly say you are no longer the same? As a child of God now. Oh, that's right. That's right. Look what it says right here in John 15, 12. Look at this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see, now God has given us a greater love because he first loved us. So now that he's poured in his love in us, guess what? We can learn to love one another. And he calls us his friends. Right up here, look at this, John 15, 14, look at this. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Wow. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Are you catching this? For all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So we are friends of the Creator. We are friends who spoke your life into existence. He created you, formed and fashioned you in your mother's womb, and we are now what? His friends. Come on, someone say, turn to your neighbor and say, you are my friend. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are my friend. And then say this, and Jesus is our friend. Oh, come on. Praise God. He's our friend. Oh, that's right. Because many of us, you know, we can say, oh, man, that's my compa over there. My compadre. That's, you know what compadre means, right? I'm going to have Brother Carlos come up here and preach now, man. He'll give a Spanish version up here. You see, saints, when we were saved, our lives were completely changed. Amen. Completely changed. Can I get amen? Amen? We don't desire to do those foolish things we once used to love to do. As I mentioned before, no more five keggers. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Just give me some Hawaiian punch. I'm good. I'll be good with that. Praise God. That's right. A soda. Tang. Someone, oh, Tang over here. Gatorade over here. Just don't put nothing in it. You see, we were given a new heart and a new spirit. And now you and I, we relate to Christ in an entirely different fashion. Praise God. as his intimate friend. He's our intimate friend. Can I get an amen? You know, Sister Leah up here was singing, then revelation came to her mind. I go, man, she must have just peered ahead and looked at my notes. Because we're going to get to revelation in a minute, right where she was at. Now you know that's the Holy Ghost. We're going to get there in a minute. And so let's look at our fourth biblical principle right here. Look at this. By revealing divine truth. He reveals divine truth. He doesn't tell us a lie. Aren't you so blessed? That's right. Look at this. I have called you friends. That's a divine truth. The Creator, God Almighty, who died for our sins, who has been saving people for the past 2,000 years. He says, I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I've been made known to you. See, what was been made known to us? The mystery of who God was. And now we know. He's the Son of God who died for us. And he loves us with an everlasting love. And while Jesus was with his disciples, saints of God, he revealed so many divine truths, all from his Father. And there was no other way to know this unless he told you and I what those truths were. These revelations, saints of God, weren't given to everyone. Did you know that? Listen, we have wonderful friends, family members, acquaintances, co-workers, distant relatives, and they don't know what we know now. None of them do. They don't have a clue. If you start asking them biblical concepts, they won't have a clue. Why? Because the truth has not yet been revealed to them. But for you and I, it has been revealed to us. This is why we're here today. Because we believe God's word is truth. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to me unless the Father draws. And God drew us all to the cross. Did you know that we were drawn by his love? He gave us a heart to repent. It was God who drew us to the cross. He did it all by himself. Thank God. Thank God he drew me. He didn't allow me to die in my sin. He didn't allow you to die in your sin. Can I get amen? He drew us. And after Christ's ascension, the Holy Spirit brought to mind all that Jesus told his disciples. And as we study God's word, we understand who he is. We have a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation of who he is, a deeper love for him and what he has done for you and I. And so let's look at our fifth principle right up here. He challenges us. How many of you like challenges? Or do you run from a challenge? Back in the day, I got called out in high school many times. What up? Come on, meet me after school. And if you didn't show up, you know, your friends will call you a coward. I won't say the words they would say, but I'm being polite. They would call you a coward if you didn't go up there and challenge him. But even as believers, we get challenged in our walk. Can I get an amen? Why? Because trials and tribulations are coming. And if you've never been in a trial or tribulation, keep living. Because one's right around the corner. Can I get an amen? But here's the good news. God will see us through each and every one of them as a child of God. He'll walk us through it. He will see us through it. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Look at this right up here. Let's go back to the word. But I chose you and appointed you, look at this, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This is Jesus saying, I've appointed you. I've chosen you. That you go bear fruit. And let me just say this, seriously. All of you right now that are attending church this morning, you're bearing fruit to your extended family members because they know that you're in church getting the word. That's bearing fruit before them, that you have an intimate relationship with God. You're coming to be in fellowship. You're coming to be in praise and worship. You're bearing fruit. They're seeing Jesus in your life. They're seeing you being led by his Spirit as you journey into the house of God. That's God working mightily in your life. Well, that's right. And he's going to continue to work mightily in your life because he loves us. He loves you and I. And when he saved us, guess the miraculous thing he did? He took the sins of the flesh and did a heart exchange. He did the great exchange. In other words, when we gave him our heart of flesh, he gave us a heart of stone. And guess, look what he did. He gave us this. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, what God has given us through the power of the Holy Spirit is endless. There's always going to be a well of supply of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, and kindness. It should resonate out of our innermost being, his Spirit that lives within us. We should have joy unspeakable, full of glory every day. We should have a smile on our face for one another every day. Can I get an amen? Are we going to have a perfect day? No. But if God lives in us, the joy of the Lord will be our strength. The joy of the Lord, hallelujah, will be our all in all. And people will see Jesus in you. How many can't wait to see Jesus when he comes for us? Well, guess what? That's when he comes for the church. But let me just say this. Jesus that lives in you now is what other people see. Praise God. Praise God. And so, saints, he challenges us to become what he desires us to be and to accomplish. I'm going to go quickly because I'm going to dismiss this real soon. But I want to go over these points that I found and that I prayed about. And we're going to look at this. Look at this. The kind of friend Jesus is. Do you know that he's kind? How many believe he's kind? So look at this right up here. He accepts us as we are, but doesn't leave us that way. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? Huh? He doesn't leave us the same way. Some of us came groungy. Like Brother G would say, we came toe up from the flow up. But he didn't leave us the same, did he? Look at this. He has time for us and is never too busy for you and I. Praise God. Guess what? He's a local call. He's not long distant. Look at this. He talks to us through his written word and through the Spirit of God. Aren't you so blessed? Listen, look at this. He listens to us when we pray. And how do we know that? It's in the word. Look at this right here in 1 John. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. Oh, come on. Sister Leah beautifully said this morning as she was worshiping God, you got to have faith to believe. And you have to have faith to believe that he hears us. Can I get an amen? We're not just talking amiss. No, I think you hear me. You know, some people refer God as the man upstairs. When I hear people say that, I go, do you know his name? Let me introduce you to the man upstairs. That should be a door opener right there. The man upstairs. Can I get an amen? Come on. That's a door that God just flung open for you. Let me tell you who he is. Praise God. Look at this. He forgives us and grants us his perfect record of righteousness. You see, when we stand before the Father, hallelujah, guess what? He doesn't see our wretchedness no more. He doesn't see our shortcoming. He doesn't see what you've done here on this life. Guess what he sees? He sees the blood of Jesus that has covered your sins. You see, he who knew no sin became sin that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. And so because we have received now the righteousness of Christ, we stand before a holy God righteous. Even in our wretchedness, we still stand right. How does that work? Only God makes that work. It's God. Say that with me. It's God. He only makes that work. Can I get an amen? There's nothing we can do. Look at this. He understands us in our struggles and weaknesses. How many of you become weak in moments of your walk? Oh, come on. Every one of us don't. Come on. Some of us, man, we call God. God, I don't know about this one, God. I don't know about this trial, God. I don't know, oh, God. I don't know. The doctor said this. So-and-so said this. This one ran away. I don't know, God. Huh. That's right. But guess what? He understands us better than we understand ourselves. Oh, come on. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He goes, I know what you're going through. And you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't put us on blast.
Amen.
Aren't you so blessed? God does not put it on blast. You know what he does? He comes to build us up. He comes to edify us. He comes to bless us even in moments of weakness and despair.
Thank you, Lord.
When someone's done you wrong.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. And then guess what he does for you, in you? Especially when someone has done you wrong, he gives you a heart to pray for them.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes.
Your flesh wants to curse them.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Yes, but it gives you a heart. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
To bless them.
Amen.
You want, hey, listen, you want to get blessed in life? Be like Job. Remember everything that he lost. At the end of that story, in chapter 42, there's a lot of chapters in Job. God gave him back tenfold because he learned how to pray for his enemies. Pray for your enemies. Love them. Listen, we just read we were all at one time enemies to God, right? So we're no different from them. Pray for them. Watch God do the miraculous in your life. Praise God, praise God. Look at this. He walks with us through our trials. I'm so thankful. He not only holds my hand, he puts his arms around me. He goes, I got you. I'm with you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Sister, your testimony a couple weeks ago, it blew me away. But he was with you. He was with you. He knew what you were going through. And now you are a much better person than you were then because of his grace and his mercy and his love that's been poured out on you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the devil is a liar. Can I get amen? And the father of lies. Hey, listen, don't receive anything that the enemy has said about you. You just remind the enemy, guess what? Jesus is coming soon. And you guess what? Your demise is around the corner. Look at this. In Hebrews 13:5, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Take that word to the bank. Can I get amen? Take it to the bank. Look at this. He's available to meet our needs in every circumstance. How many of you are struggling even right now in this quote unquote, are we having a recession now? What is it? For some, you're going into a depression. I'm telling you, stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God.
Yes.
Stay faithful to God. Despite of what you see, don't believe the lies of the enemy.
That's right.
You know why? Because when you open up your cupboards, there'll be food in there.
Amen.
Can I get amen? Open up the fridge, there'll be food in there. Open up your wallet, there'll be dollars in there. Why? Because God will supply all of our needs according to what? His riches and glory. He'll be there for you and I.
Yes.
Look at this. He's open and doesn't try to hide himself. Aren't you so blessed? God, where are you? Remember when Elijah and the 350 prophets of Baal, and they built two altars, and Elijah mocked their God. Where's your God? Is he on the toilet seat? He did say that in his way. He said, did he take a vacation? And then they were cutting themselves.
Beating themselves.
Because here was the thing. If fire falls from heaven then and on your offering, then God is God. And they were yelling and screaming and tormenting each other, and nothing happened. And then Elijah said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the only true and living God, fall on this offering. And guess what they did? They put, I don't know how many gallons of water around that offering. And then they wetted down the offering. And then fire, bam, fell from heaven. And it sapped it all up. Can I get an amen? And everyone fell on their face and said, that is the true and living God. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. You got to have Jesus alive in your soul. No differently that he is alive and well. Can I get an amen? Is he alive and well in your soul? Oh, come on. Yes. Hallelujah. Come on. Give him a shout of praise. Give him a shout of glory in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? God has done this. He has revealed his ways and thoughts in his word. You will know who he is when you get into his word. Can I get amen?
Yes.
And guess what you find out? He loves you.
Yes.
He's always loved you. He's pursued us since we were conceived in our mother's womb. He chased after us.
Yes.
Can I get amen? He went through the highways and byways. Oh, that's right. He even went down a national city to find me. Back in the day, we used to call that city Nasty City. Oh, 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 we don't want to go there, do we? We don't want to go there. Woo. Oh, man, I'm having one of those deja vu moments up here right now. No, we don't want to go there. Let's move past this. Look at this. He's sensitive and knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen? Praise God. We can't outfool God. Can I get an amen?
That's right.
You know, we can fool one another. And you know, we're not really sad. We're just in a pity party. And he won't do nothing until you get out of that. He knows our thoughts. That's right. Look at this. He encourages us throughout life. Can I get amen?
Yes, he does.
Oh, how many of you can honestly say in 2022, you went through some serious trials? Huh? Oh, come on.
He's faithful.
Come on. And yet, his spirit and his word has encouraged us.
Thank you, Lord.
Why? Because look, he's patient and long-suffering with us.
Yes.
In our personal battles and frailties, and guides us in our spiritual growth. That's how much he cares for you and I. Look what I found in Numbers. Look at this, Numbers 14:18. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Aren't you so blessed? Man, how many believe he's a giver? Everything we have is from him, including life itself. Can I get an amen? He's the giver. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is.
And no knock on the, we call him the American Indians, but he's not an Indian giver. You remember that? We said, this is no knock on that, right? But we, no, that's mine again. I want that back. That's where I learned that. I'm sorry. I hope. You all remember that, huh? Okay. No, what he gives us is for us to keep.
That's right.
Can I get amen? And he touches us. Look at that. He touches us in our times of need through the hands of his people and his presence. You know what? There are real brothers and sisters that truly love you, that pray for you, and want to see you succeed in your walk. Can I get amen? You need people like that in your life.
Yes.
True people that love you, that won't try to judge you.
Thank you, Lord.
Try to figure out, oh man, you know. Pss, 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 pss.
No,
we don't do that. Can I get amen? Listen, knowing what God has saved you from.
Come on. Thank you, Father.
And we're going to backbite someone else?
No.
Lord have mercy, help us. Look at this. He's always truthful and will never deceive us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. He's always truthful. He's always faithful. Whatever he says, he will do. He's committed to us and will keep his promises. Listen, if he's promised you something, you could take it to the bank. Oh, come on. Oh, that's right. He's promised me a brand new body, and I can't wait for it. I can't wait to throw away. When you get 60, there'll be some pills in that cabinet that weren't there when you were in 30s. Where do they come off? Where do they come from?
They don't help.
That's right. They don't help. Look at this. He confronts us when we sin because he loves us.
That's right.
Listen, I would rather have the Holy Spirit convict me than to have someone point out your sin.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Listen, you better be careful before you point out someone's sin.
That's right.
You better be good. Your heart better be pure. You better have the right spirit before you start pointing this. Because the Bible tells me if you do this, you point, guess what? There's three pointing right back at you.
Right.
Confronts us. Aren't you so blessed? And guess what else he does? He desires the best for us. He wants to give us the best. Can I get amen? Sometimes that means he must rearrange our plans in order to make them like his. God, go ahead. Mold me, shape me, move me. I don't care. I'm yours, God. I'm yours. I don't have no agenda. Man, Sunday mornings, you couldn't move me from the couch watching football all day.
Look at God.
One day I was driving home because I was a season ticket holder for the Chargers back in the day. And I heard God speak to me. He goes, when are you going to give those to me? I said, maybe now, God, I should. And as soon as I gave them to him, Yolanda and I went into ministry at Mission Valley.
Yeah, that's God. Yes, he's so good.
Praise God. He was just waiting. Listen, he didn't grab me by the nape of my head and slap me, silly. You got to get rid of these now. No, he came to me calmly. I heard his spirit. What? Is it time now to give them to me?
Thank you, Lord.
He goes, I'm going to show you something greater and better. Yolanda started serving at Mission Valley. Next thing we knew, we were leading the prayer team there. We did 5 services a week. We did the 7:15, we did the 9:30, and the 11:15. Then we came back and did the 6 o'clock, and then came back Wednesday to do the 7 p.m. We did 5 services. We never left church. And guess what? We learned to love to serve.
Yeah. Right.
This is what led me here.
Right.
Learning how to serve.
Right.
Learning how to love the things of God.
Amen.
This is what, yeah, this is where he led me. Why? Because at first I had to, by faith, just give those to him. What is God asking from you to give to him? I don't know what they are. You know what they are. You know what it is. Just give it to him. And watch him bless you with beyond your human imagination. The comprehension he will do will be mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Look at this. Did you know that he loves you unconditionally? There's nothing we have to earn to merit his love. Can I get an amen? Nothing. Why? Because he gave his life for us. Look what it says in 1 John. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Meaning, we need to learn how to lay down our lives for one another. Learn, you know, listen, learn to be a blessing to people. Learn to be a blessing to people. So if someone's down and out, bless them. If someone needs a hug, you give them a hug. You know what? And they don't need to tell you the details.
That's right.
You don't need to know the details. Just say, you know what? God's going to see you through. Whatever, because your countenance may be hanging low, guess what? Come and cheer them up. God is with you.
Thank you, Lord.
God loves, let me pray for you. God, strengthen her. Strengthen him. You don't need to know the details.
That's right. Thank you.
Only that person in God should know those details. Amen? And God's going to do the miraculous. Look at this. He gave himself a ransom for all. The testimony given to the proper time. Listen, I want to go a little faster here, and we're going to close. Look at this. He's prepared a place in heaven for us. How many believe that?
Amen.
How many believe he's prepared a place in heaven for us?
Yes. Yes, he has.
Listen. The $40 million homes in Rancho Santa Fe are going to look like a shed that's roach infested. Roof falling apart. That's right. Dry rotted away. Termites all over the place compared to the things that God has made for us. Look at this. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God has prepared a place for you. That's right. And it's not in the ghetto. Some of us call ghettos ghetto-licious now. And if I go, look at this, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may what? Be also. And I close right here. He's going to spend eternity with us.
Amen.
How many can't wait for that?
Amen.
Huh? So we close in Revelation. We close in Revelation. Revelation 21, 1 through 8. Look at this. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. All there was no more sea. Get your sushi in now. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Praise God. Look at this. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell. Look at this. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. How many can't wait for that moment? And God will wipe away, look at this, every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Praise God. Hallelujah. For the former things have passed away. Look at this. In verse 5 right up here. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write these words that are true and faithful." God is true and faithful. Can I get amen?
Yes, it is.
And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give them of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts."
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. But the story don't end there, because this is why God has called you and I for such a time as this, to pray for those who do not end up in what we're about to read. Because the next verse says this: "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But verse 8, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers," those are drug users. That's what sorcery means in the Greek, pharmacia. "Idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. How many of you want to be with God in the New Jerusalem? Amen. That's all of us, amen?
Amen?
But pray for these. Pray for them.
Yes.
Call prayer meetings at your home. Get involved in a prayer meeting. Can I get amen? We need to start another one up here. We need to pray. Why? Because there's some precious loved ones that have no desire to be with God right now. You know who they are. We don't have to put them on blast. You know who they are. But love them.
Yes.
Because the only Jesus they're ever going to see, the only Bible they're ever going to read is your life.
Yes. Yes.
Is your life.
That's right.
So walk uprightly before them.
Yes.
Don't beat them on the head with the word. Don't go, "Man, you sinner."
Oh, love.
You come home and love them. You see them, you love them. Can I get an amen?
That's right. Amen.
Because God wants to do something
radical
in their lives. Let's pray. Let's pray now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for loving us. We thank you that while we were all yet sinners, you died for us. And we're here because we're so grateful. We are very so thankful. We're a thankful people that love every moment that you have done in our life. My heart is to pray for those that have not come into that covenant relationship with you. They've never been born again, washed in the blood, filled with your spirit. Oh God, will you draw them to the cross like you drew us? Give them a mind to be saved. Give them a heart of repentance, God. We just read and we were reminded how much you love us so much. And you love them too. And I can't wait to see what you're going to do in their lives soon and very soon. And I'm speaking to those maybe who are here or those that are watching on Facebook and YouTube. We thank you for joining us this day. But if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all these wonderful things that we just learned and were reminded of on how much he loves you and I, I'm just giving you what the truth of the Bible says, that we were all in a horrible place at one time, and then he came to save us. And guess what? He wants to save you. If you're never giving your heart to Jesus, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer by faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Give him a shout of praise.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.